Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug. Good morning.
How you doing, my friend?
Not too bad. Beautiful sunny day here in New England. Can't complain.
Yeah, well, I can complain. It's 99 degrees here today.
Yeah, Florida weather.
Yeah, well, it's 91 in Florida. You figure that out.
Yeah.
But everybody keeps telling me, you do not want to move to Florida. It's so hot. Dude.
Right.
When it's hot, it's hot. I mean, do you think, what's the difference? What flame do you want to be on?
Right.
A flame's a flame.
You're in New Jersey, and they got Disney World at their doorstep. I think I'd choose the latter.
Yeah, they got Disney World. They got free beaches. They got beaches you can go to without nobody bothering you.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of knuckleheads from all other states, and I love you guys at my beach right now.
Oh, yeah, all the tourists, right?
Yeah, which, you know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you can't even – our beaches from Memorial Day to Labor Day is – forget about it. It's like driving through New York City when you're down there.
I'm sure every square inch of that beach is accounted for, right?
Oh, yeah, especially Ocean City. You got to squeeze into that like a sardine. It kind of reminds you – you ever see that John Candy movie? The vacation one where people go through his house to go out onto the beach. That's what Ocean City reminds you of, man. I mean, it's like there's so little beach because the storms have taken it away over the years.
Right.
And you're down there, like, you can't even have – you have to whisper a conversation if you're, like, on the beach.
Like there's a family, like, literally right next to you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could be laying there and – you could be taking your potato chip and dipping in your neighbor's salsa if you want to. I mean,
your neighbor's putting suntan lotion on you, right?
Exactly. You get the guy next to you. Will you spray my back? No, dude, I'm not spraying your back.
Yeah. I just, that's one reason why I hate the beach. I do not like the beach, and we're real close to the ocean here. I got beaches all over the place, and I prefer to go up the mountains. I don't like the beach scene at all.
Dude, I love the beach in the winter.
Yeah, it's nice to look at, but
I do a lot of work at my customer's house. Me and my wife, like, because I have customers, you know, all over the shore area. Because I'm the same way. I'm like 40 minutes from the ocean.
Yep.
So I don't know if you're closer than that.
No, about the same.
Yeah, I mean, I can go. I'm about 45 minutes to an hour away from 10 beach resorts.
Right.
But me and my wife, we go down September, October when everybody's gone because there's a nice coffee shop in Seattle City.
Mm-hmm.
We'll stop and I'll get her a coffee. Even now, maybe I'll drink one with her.
Yeah, there you go.
I've moved over. But we'll go out and walk the beach then. Nobody's there. And then I'll get home before the football game because we'll go down like super early in the morning.
Yep. That's great. You take the dog or...
We're not allowed.
Oh, right.
It's sad, or I would. He. It would be awesome. You ain't allowed to do nothing in the state except for pay taxes.
Yeah, well, but you know, and I get that, why they don't allow dogs. They used to, but all it takes is a couple knuckleheads not to clean up or let their dog off the leash and, you know, attack somebody or, you know, cause somebody to be uncomfortable. And then there you go. You get the regulations that say you can't bring your pet. So people spoil it.
I know Florida you can, so
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it one day.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know. And then it's just so hot here, dude. I mean, it's like, and I don't want to complain because you guys know me. I'd rather be hot than cold.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. And, I'm sure you've been running your AC nonstop pretty much. And I'm going to hate to get the electric bill next month, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, mine was $100 more.
Well, that's not too bad.
And not here. I mean, not for what it could have been. I've had it worse. But
yep.
Then tomorrow's supposed to be. And don't you love it? I mean, the other day, the news people. It's like when it's either a snowstorm or a heat wave, man. They're all excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, make sure you check on the elderly. And they're like smiling. It's like, stop it. You're freaking me out here. It's like, you know, you should be concerned. But they're all excited. They got something to talk about.
Right, right. Because, yeah, they don't like just sunny days that are, you know, nothing's happening, you know. And God forbid there's a thunderstorm coming through. That's national news almost.
No, a snowstorm coming in. They're all giddy.
Yep, yep.
It's like, but yeah, I mean, yeah, check on the elderly. Be careful. This is the type of heat around here now where you got to worry. But it's like the other day the girl's going, it's 95 out, but it feels like 96. And I'm like, Brenda, did you just hear that? She goes, what? I said, I had to rewind it because we have, you know, the DVR on the TV.
Right, right.
She starts cracking up. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can understand 6 or 7 degrees different. What she's going, it's 95, but it feels like temperature of 96. I'm like, are you insane, lady?
Right. You're going to make a difference between 95 and 96, and who would notice it, right?
Yeah, but tomorrow I'll get it because it's supposed to be 99 and feel like 106 here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got to work in that then.
Yeah, around here, I'm sure they do it down there, too. They say, oh, there could be rolling brownouts and all that stuff if the load gets too much and with everybody using the ACs and crazy stuff.
Nah, it just, but I'll take it. I do not want winter.
Now, you're working a union job, right? Don't they have a temperature by which they call off work or it gets dangerous? Do you guys have that down there?
No, dude. No, not at all. I worked at the, when we worked at the Revel 4 years ago, they'll bring in waters and stuff for you.
Right.
The good contractors will. But we were down the Revel, and we literally had four guys leaving an ambulance for heat exhaustion. We got that heat wave where it was 100 and some degrees for like 7 straight days down there.
Oh, wow.
I was working 30 feet in the air on top of ductwork. Literally, I could watch, and I'm not a sweater. And I could literally see the sweat pouring off. I mean, my head will sweat. That's the only spot,
right.
Really. But I was literally, dude, it was like I had, there was a thermostat in the building. There was 130 degrees in certain parts up in the air where I was working. They didn't call that job off. It's all about money, man.
Yeah, I guess. If you got a deadline, you got to do what you got to do.
They don't care, dude. They'll tell you. They give you the whole spiel. Stay hydrated, but they don't care.
They just really to cover themselves, right?
It's insurance purposes. Well, let me put it this way, and I don't want to bore our listeners and all, but there's safety guys in there, and they're telling you that, like, I'm climbing out of a buck hoist that's 20 feet in the air, walking on a dock that's 4 foot wide, putting a stepladder on that dock to climb up on another dock 10 feet above that. And the guy wants to know if I'm, like, that you're supposed to be strapped off.
Right.
There's nowhere for me to strap off. So they put all the ductwork in before we could tape the sheetrock.
Right.
So how did that guy think? I grew wings and got up there to tape it?
He knows. He's just
not asking any
questions.
Yeah, and then they'll kick you off the job for doing this, but they'll let you do it.
Right, right.
For their insurance. It's just, it's ugly. So, no, they don't really treat you that good. They just want it done, man.
Yep.
You get paid. That's about it. Did you see our buddy Pat wearing his Dole Whip T-shirt?
I did. He must have listened to our show when we were talking. And Dole Whips weren't our favorite, so I take it he loves them because he's got the shirt that says so.
Yes, and I mean, come on. I mean, like our buddy John, he was going to be on today. He's checking into the Polynesian today, the poor guy. And he was running a little late, so he didn't get to do the show today. But we're going to have a trip report with his. He has a few-day trip down at the Poly to Lucky Dog.
Yes.
And even he likes the citrus roll better. But I'll let him talk about it when he's on next.
Yes.
He said his wife is in love with the Dole Whip now. She never tried one until this past year, and now she can't get enough. I said, he's staying at the Poly. She'll have it all she can handle there.
Oh, yeah. They got their own little kiosk there, and I think you can get the ones with a little rum in it, too, so that would be good.
Oh, John's in there.
Yeah.
He might switch his opinion back to the Dole Whip.
Right, right.
With the rum in it. But no, we're citrus roll guys. And then also we had our buddy Dave that I want to be. I didn't make the Mickey Dudes last week because of work. I had the day I was supposed to do it, we ended up doing back-to-back 12s.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't get on. It was too much. My brain would have been even more dead than what it is already now. I wouldn't have had a fighting chance if I'd have gone on then. But I'm going on August 1st now to do the great debate on Park Hopper.
Oh, okay.
But did you see him had it out in front of Mouseketeer picking on me?
I don't think I saw that one. What was that one about?
Oh yeah, go look at the picture. He's out standing out in front of Mouseketeer, holding his nose, saying, "Now we really know how nuts he is to think this place smells good." You know, I mean, the guy keeps attacking me. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a good defense lined up for it.
Yes, I will. But you know, I love my mouse gear. You get what I'm saying? I don't love the smell, but I love the. You know where you're at when you're there.
Oh,
It just it just has that home feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you can't.
Even though my home don't smell like that. Come
Right,
on.
but you can't mistake that odor. Like you, I think you said, if they blindfolded you and walked you in there, you'd know where you were.
Exactly. It's just the sentimental value of the place. You know, leave me alone, Dave. Quit picking on me, man. So you want to get into some news? You got any highlights going on?
Yeah, a couple of things down at Disney World here. So Anthropology opens two-story store at Disney Springs in where? Of course, the town center, where every store opened.
Did they take the whole 42 square miles of Disney World up?
It sure seems like it. I can't believe all these stores are there. But Anthropology opened one of its flagship stores at Disney Springs in the town center earlier this week. The two-story store offers an eclectic range of women's clothing, accessories, home furnishings, and beauty products. You can find Anthropology across from the bus entrance to the town center near Zara and the Welcome Center. Operating hours are 10 a.m. to 11, Sunday through Thursday, then 10 a.m. to 11:30 p.m.
I thought they were going to be selling rocks or something.
Yeah, right. We got pictures here. Yeah, beautiful store. The architecture of the building is pretty unique, and it looks awesome.
Oh, the grand windows in the place are beautiful.
Yeah. Like you said, maybe not something we'd enjoy shopping in, but I'd be excited just to see it and at least take a quick walk through and see what it has to offer anyways.
Well, there's going to be something definitely here for everybody. I mean, there is not going to be. There's something at Disney Springs for everybody, so.
Yes. Yeah, because even if you're not a Disney fan, I mean, even a humbug, if somebody got drugged down there, and they didn't like Disney. I mean, there's enough stuff that you might find other places across the country to, you know, keep your interest. So it truly will be something for everybody.
No, I can't wait to put my feet back down there. Now that it's done, the last time we were there, it was like total chaos.
Yeah, it was like you were mice in a maze, as they say, with all those construction walls.
I mean, and I've told you guys before, I enjoy the construction walls being up.
Right.
But it was more of the traffic around. I mean, getting around there was insane. I'm just happy that that's no longer the case, as bad as it was. I mean, I know there's always going to be traffic in that area because it's a congested area.
Yeah, but to me, if you can't see, like, you know, it just takes away from, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you can't obviously can't see over the walls and you can't see 10 feet in front of you. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of distracting.
No, I'm glad they're down. I can't wait to see it 100% complete because it was incomplete when the last time I was there. But, you know, I just say I get excited because I would like to be doing it, one of those jobs.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I remember the last time I was there, we were taking the friendship, not the friendship boats, but the other boats that come from Riverside and stuff. And all the workers were on the docks when they were still building the boathouse and all that stuff. They were like on the water side. They all had their lunch boxes and stuff. And, you know, I was thinking, if you have to work, wouldn't be a bad place to work down here, you know?
No, that's my thoughts exactly.
You know, you got to do the same thing as maybe what you're doing up in New Jersey or whatever, but wouldn't it be cool to be doing it at Disney Springs and seeing all the activity?
That's the dream. I will, God willing, work on one of those buildings before I'm gone. That's my dream. So
there you go. Yeah, if you could do something at Animal Kingdom, it'd be all the better.
No, any of them. Star Wars Land. Any building I my union book will be transferred down there within the next year or two, so.
That would be awesome.
That's the goal. I keep saying it. It's the goal.
Yep. Yeah, so it looks like they gave a new paint scheme to the Carousel of Progress. Looks pretty vibrant, or a lot more vibrant than it did. Carousel of Progress at the Magic Kingdom has a new exterior paint job, bringing it more in line with the new paint scheme, given the nearby People Mover. The new color scheme is much bolder, featuring vibrant orange and blue. Yeah, it is similar. That's right. They did the People Mover last summer, I believe. So it looks like they've expanded this same color scheme right next door to the Carousel of Progress. It actually does look pretty awesome.
It looks fantastic, in my opinion. It has orange, blue, purple. You know, the carousel was always purple.
Yep.
A little bit of pink, it looks like a purplish pink, a regular purple. And there's like five or six colors, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, looks like a newer attraction. I mean, the building is quite old, but it definitely makes it pop a little bit more. It was much more subdued before the color scheme, and kind of just sat there, kind of bland almost, I'd call it. And you know, I don't know that it'll cause the attendance to pick up, but it certainly looks a lot nicer than it did.
Well, just the area on the orange where it says Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress really is bold and stands out now.
Yeah.
You know, it really makes a showing. I don't know. I'm just glad they painted the building and they redid it, so that makes me believe it's going to be around a long time.
For the foreseeable future, that's for sure. Yeah, I totally agree. And they wouldn't be investing money in a paint job, because even you might say, oh, it's just paint. I'm sure it costs, you know, loads of money to do that.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking union money
and
stuff like that.
Big money.
Yeah, it is. And the thing of it is the way they do it right. They don't just show up at your house like a knucklehead and throw paint on top of chip paint.
Right.
You're talking metal and steel and all different. Yeah, they're doing it right when they paint.
Oh, yeah, I'm
like
sure
that.
There's base coats and primer coats and all kinds of stuff.
Sandblasting.
Yep.
And, you know, there's all kind of involvement when you're painting a building like that.
And,
so.
You know, with paint, you know, the work is in the prep, right? Putting the finished
color
is the easy part.
Exactly. It's getting. But they did a beautiful job. I can't wait to see it in person.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that as well. Let's see what else we have here. Electric vehicle charging stations coming to the Magic Kingdom and the TTC parking lot. I kind of wondered when these would get here. Let's see here. The Transportation and Ticket Center is the next Walt Disney World location to receive electric car charging stations. The TTC parking lot primarily serves as the Magic Kingdom's parking lot and will soon offer four EV chargers. Provided by ChargePoint, the chargers are the same fast-charging Level 2 stations that can be also found at Disney Springs, Disney's Animal Kingdom, and Epcot. Although the chargers are in place, they are not yet active. They are located at the front of the Zurg lot next to the disability parking. I'm surprised there's only four. You would think with, you know, as big as the parking lots are in a huge place like Disney, I don't know if that speaks to how few of these cars people own, or, you know, I wonder how they decided just to put four there.
The thing of it is I think the reason is, Dan, is because if you own one of these cars, I mean, unless you're living far away, I think you're going to have it charged.
True.
You're showing up for the day, you know, you're not going to be depending on Disney to have something there. It's there for the people that forgot their car is on E.
Yeah. So it kind of like emergency thing. Like if you were a local, obviously your car would be charged in the morning and you wouldn't need to charge it, right?
Exactly.
Or
even
if you rented one from a local place, it should be fully charged when you take the vehicle.
Exactly. And or if you're staying at one of the hotels and you're there for the week, you might want to shoot over here to one of these locations
right. And
charge up. I don't think it's more frequent as what we think it is.
Yeah.
If you follow me. So that's just, I don't know. I know I'm not taking an electric car from here. It better be a hybrid. I'm not just using a pure electric car.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I would go for one of those. But I don't know. We got into this in another show, I remember. But it just seems like they're just not the thing that everyone or a lot of people say that they are. I mean, they just don't seem to, even though the technology has gotten better and better, it just doesn't seem like there's enough people buying them. But maybe I'm crazy.
The problem is there's this thing called oil.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot, don't tell nobody, but there's a lot of billionaires that refuse to allow that the automobile turn to complete electric.
Yep.
So there's nobody in government backing these cars. If all of a sudden everybody decided to be on TV every single, how many commercials do you see on TV for full electric cars?
I don't think I've seen one.
Exactly. There's a reason for that. There's no way that they can't make the technology better.
Right.
Yeah, it just, if they put the efforts into it, there's just way too much money. And the whole economy runs off of oil.
Right. Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's way too much. It's scare. There's a big scare factor in switching from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. And then in the end of the day, if you're going to go into all this stuff, you're still going to need oil to manufacture all these parts, because the oil ends up making the electricity anyway.
Yeah, it's
in a lot of these plants.
Yep. You're right. It's just on the other end, and you don't see it, but you're right.
Exactly. So if every car turns electric, then we're going to have to make a ton more plants, and then you're going to need more oil to produce the – one way or another, you're using oil.
Yep.
They need to find another way to sustain, like, you know, solar and wind. We need to find another sustainable
fuel source. Yeah.
Yeah, source.
Right.
If you follow me, everybody thinks because you're using electric, you're not using oil. No, you still are using oil.
Yeah, something got to run the generators or the engines or whatever.
Yes, natural gas.
Yep.
You know, something is running it. There's gas and oil being used regardless.
Yeah, I think it'll be a while before we're off of fossil fuels, if ever.
Hey, I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime.
No, probably not. Probably not.
But I it's the nerve factor. You don't want to switch to everybody's afraid of the unknown.
Yep, that's true. Although, like you said, a lot of people are putting those solar roof panels on now.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've thought about it.
Yeah, if you crunch the numbers and see if it made sense, or
I've talked to a few guys at Home Depot
yeah.
and stuff like that. They're offering you. They say it's for free, but no, it's not. How it works is they take all the electric until it's paid off.
Oh, okay. So whatever it generates, they take until you're paid.
Exactly.
And then they cut you over, and then you can start.
Yeah. You start getting money back. There's always a loophole, dude. You're not got nothing for free. Yeah. The companies also will finance it to you, where you pay them so much, and then you get some back from the Then what ends up happening once you get it, the electric company pays you.
Right. But depending on how big a loan you take or whatever, that could
yes.
be years down the road, right?
Exactly. I have a lady who she finally after. And I don't want to say it's a fact for everybody, but after like 12 years,
right.
she's finally seeing, she's making money. Where when she gets her check from the electric company, I do something at her house usually.
Right. So she gets a credit or whatever.
Yeah. So.
I mean, not to bore people with it, but being in construction. So what happens when you got to replace a roof? Do those panels come off fairly easily or?
Yeah, well, a lot of times they won't put them on unless you have a new roof.
There's
the other thing. So then they'll bang you for a roof. Your roof has to be less than certain amount. That's my problem. My roof's like 18 years old.
Right.
20 years old. It's 20, actually 20 years old. But I got a 12 pitch, so it ain't a flat roof.
Right.
The flatter the roof, the less time shingles last.
Yep. Makes sense.
But the thing of it is for me to do it or anybody to do it, if your shingles are so old, they'll make you re-roof the roof before they'll put the panels on.
Right. So
they don't want to be dealing with that.
Yep. They want to, you know, not have to worry about it for 25 years or whatever.
Yeah. And then some of those companies will bang a new roof on for you, but that also goes into the financing.
Right. So that just pushes back your time in which you're going to be getting any money back or whatever.
Yeah, so then they'll take another $6,000 to do your roof. So now, which costs them $2,500.
Yep.
And you're paying. And I'm just saying an average, small rancher size fall roof, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But they'll charge you that, and then next thing you know, you're paying the electric's going for another $6,000.
Oh.
So you're just sitting there looking at these stupid things on your roof for 20, 15 years until you see anything out of it.
Right. And I think some people just want to make a statement to, hey, I'm eco-friendly and I'm doing the right thing. And it isn't about the money. It's more about the status or walking the walk, as they say.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I wholeheartedly say it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We need to do it.
I'm not.
But I'm just saying it isn't, and I'm not saying I'm not going to, I might not do it. I've been in discussions about
right.
it. Because if it's not coming directly out of your pocket, why, you understand
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
do I care if I can help out?
Right.
But don't think you're going to get rich quick off of it.
Right.
Is the deal.
Yep. You got to read the fine print, as they say.
Exactly. And with these cars, like I would go with a hybrid. Like the Civic we have is the eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, I get all that. I'm okay with that partially, but I'm not into the whole. I'm not going all the way electric.
Right, right. You're open to green technologies, but you're not totally green.
Yeah, no. I still want to fill up at the gas tank
right.
and make sure I know my car is going to run.
Exactly.
I want to make sure I get to Disney World and not have to try to find 15 gas stations that's going to offer me electric pump.
Right, yeah, you don't want to have to get stuck at that south of the border on a charger or something.
Yeah, and see, that's my argument. See, the government needs to, and like Disney's doing here, but Dan, how many of these electric I know you have one at your school, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we have one right now, we do.
Exactly, but the point of it is where else have you ever seen one?
I have not. Probably
exactly.
The pictures I looked at on the site this morning were the second ones I ever seen other than the one at my where I work.
Exactly. So that's my point. The government or people need to invest in these electric pumps, as I call it, electric car pump.
Yeah.
They need to invest. Don't you need to see more of them around?
To feel like, never, confident, yeah.
Don't you remember back in the day when diesel vehicles, not the trucks, but the diesel cars?
Yep.
I know friends that would have them, but they couldn't find a gas station.
Right.
Yeah. And they're running out of gas. And if you know anything about a diesel, they have these spark plugs that if the car runs out of gas,
right.
You got to replace the plug sometimes. There's an igniter or whatever it is. I don't know exactly what the name of it's called.
Yeah.
But you can burn out these things and you have to replace them.
Right. Yeah, you're right, because obviously not every gas station has diesel, or it's particularly back then when those cars came
back
out.
Back then they didn't.
Right.
I mean, a lot of them do now, so it wouldn't bother me. Like, I know every Wawa pretty much, 75% of your gas stations have diesel now.
Right.
Well, when we were kids, it was probably 20% of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you even...
If that.
Yeah, if you saw diesel, it was like an oddity almost. It was like, what's this all about, you know?
Yeah, because I pumped gas as a kid, and we had four stations at Texaco I worked for, and only one of them had a diesel pump.
Yep.
And that was on a major highway where they could pull in and load off.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was... So it just... That's my point. Until you start seeing these all over the place... Nobody who would feel I wouldn't feel comfortable buying an electric car until I know that it's convenient for me to get filled up.
Right, like you said, you know, you might know where they are around your hometown or the neighboring towns, but if you ever went on a trip, I mean, you know, you'd have to really do your research. If you say you were going to Florida, and just to find out where they all were and what exit they're off of, because you couldn't mess around with that.
And the other thing is. I don't think the roadside assistant guy's going to know how to fix my car if I break down.
Probably not.
That's the whole deal with it. I'm not saying I don't think it's a good idea in the end game.
Right.
But I don't see it being this popular anytime soon because there's too many variables that scare the bejesus out of me.
Yep. Well, then there's the issue again. I think we talked about this where, you know, people were getting hit because you can't hear the cars coming. They were adding noise to them or something because the pedestrians have no clue
yeah.
they're coming down the road.
Oh, absolutely. They were making some of the newer ones have an engine sound.
Isn't that crazy?
A purr to them. Yeah, purr to it. Well, it was also the drivers.
Yeah.
Like the thing of it was is, and it makes sense because I've done electric. You ever done electric high speed go karts?
No, haven't done that.
Dude, they're more dangerous. You know why? Because you don't. There's something about we're so used to driving our whole lives. When you hit the throttle, you hear the acceleration.
Yeah.
When you hit the throttle on these, you're going instantly fast, and it's like you don't register as fast because you're not hearing it.
Right, right. In your mind, because there's no change in the engine winding or whatever.
Yo, you're flying into the corner, and you don't know if you can't hear it. You don't get no throttle response out of it.
Wow.
So it's like you're going from 0 to 60. It's like it's hard to explain, but you don't drive as smoothly as what you do when you hear a response of the motor, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. So did they convert all the cars at that place over to electric, or just some of them, or is it a special track, or
it's a go kart track that they have over in PA. It's like a racing. It's set up. It has a whole course where you race the go karts.
Yeah, yeah.
Through it. And then there's local ones where we've raced, and down the shore you race the regular go-karts. It's a totally different feeling. Like, you're driving in a car and you hit the gas, you could hear yourself accelerate.
Right.
Now imagine you punch an electric car and there's no sound.
Yeah.
You're flying down the road, and sometimes in these cars, I could tell I'm speeding by the sound of my engine. With electric car, you can't tell how fast you're going
right.
sometimes.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I'm surprised Disney, for their speedway, hasn't gone to something like that. You know, with all the fumes and everybody always complains of the...
Yeah, we've said that many
yeah,
times.
Yeah, you'd think they'd grasp onto that, being they're usually a very forward-thinking company. And, you know, that would get rid of that issue of the noise and the odor. And, you know, it'd be environmentally responsible and all those things. I'm surprised.
Yeah, we said that, I think, 6 or 7 months ago. We were talking about that. We're maybe around the draft.
Yeah,
or whenever
yeah.
we did it, we were saying we don't know why, like, because of the smell. And but, I mean, in a way, I mean, the noise is annoying, but I love it. At the same
yeah.
time, it's kind of like
yeah.
the smell at mouse gears.
Right, right.
When you're walking by and you hear that, it's like, it puts a smile on my face.
The PTA would be changed drastically, because when you kind of go by the track there, you'd hear nothing, right? But it would
yes.
be weird. I don't know what you're saying. It would just be...
Yeah, it's just, it's the natural ambiance of this, the ambient sounds of the park there.
Right, right. Yeah.
It just seems weird. It would be weird to walk by there without hearing it.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll do it at some point. We'll have to see. Well, mm-hmm. are we calling it like, you kind of call it like Wi-Fi? Electric cars at Speedway?
I could see it coming yeah. sooner or later. It's going to have to.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's see here. New character meet and greet locations at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Chip and Dale, Goofy, Daisy, and Donald are now meeting in new locations at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Previously meeting guests in the center stage area, the characters are now spread throughout the park. Daisy and Donald can now be found just inside the entrance near to Sid Kachinga. Goofy and Chip and Dale are now on commissary. There's a typo here. It's Goody. Unless there's a new character called Goody that I'm not aware of, I'm going to assume it's Goofy. Goofy and Chip and Dale are now on commissary lane just across from the writer's stop. With the extensive work taking place at the park, management has been rearranging the character meet-and-greet locations in recent times. Mickey and Minnie moved to the new location. Red Carpet Dreams is now a brand-new location. Celebrity Spotlight opened earlier this spring with Olaf. I guess with all the construction going on there, character meet-and-greets are actually a pretty big part of what they have to offer there.
Oh, what do you think my favorite part of everything you just read was there?
Olaf?
No, that's two. Right across from the writer stop. That the writer stop is continuing to survive.
Yes.
That hopefully it's still there when we're there in the fall. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd love to, you know, get a last hurrah in there if I could. But I thought the timeline was going to be that it would be closed by the fall. But I don't know.
We'll see. Hopefully it keeps getting a reprieve from the governor.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. Things can change.
These meet and greets are everywhere, dude. They're like moving them from, it's like all around all the parks. It's like every time you turn around, they're moving somewhere.
Yeah, and they're changing characters, which for many, many years, they were the same characters. And you could almost, you know, bet on where you could find this one or that one. And, you know, I don't partake in it too much, except for, you know, when opportunity presents itself. But, you know, I guess changing them up makes sense. I mean, it's good to see different characters or have access to characters you might not normally have. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't bother with them much either, but it's nice they walk by and give you like a smile, you know,
yeah.
their character smile, look at you, you know, interact with you once in a while. It puts a smile on my face. Like I said, I'm probably going to get a few more pictures with the characters, especially with the podcast
yeah.
and all next time I'm down there.
Yep.
I'd like to get a couple, but I don't. Most of the time when I want the kids, you know, it's for the kids.
Right.
So I try not to waste, you know what I mean? Unless they're by themselves or something like that, I'll jump in. But for the most part, I stay away just because of that reason.
Yeah. I usually go to the obscure characters, you know, the
yes.
ones that have nobody in their line. I kind of feel bad for them, you know. It's like nobody's giving them any love, you know.
Oh, me too.
Let's see here. What do we got here? Yeah, the Planet Hollywood Observatory construction continues. And I guess this is, not I guess, it is one of the last pieces of major construction down there. And Looks like they're putting up quite a big structure in front of the Sphere there. Major construction continues as the restaurant is transformed into the observatory. So, two time frames for the opening of the new restaurant have been mentioned, summer and fall. Yeah, that's a wide berth. And based on the latest progress, fall 2016 would seem to be more likely. And I would agree with that based on...
Yeah, from what I'm looking at, if fall better run until December.
Yeah, maybe fall, winter. Yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot going on. I mean, there is a lot going on there, but I mean, the structure as it previously was pretty much remains intact as far as I can see. And then there's this new, looks like the new main facade of the observatory pointing down towards the Disney Springs is constructed at this point, and there's still a lot of way to go there.
Yeah, they're, unless they're starting to put hours in like we did, around the clock and crap. But there's, yeah, it's a big building, a big square.
Yeah.
It's like a big square facade in front of it. It's pretty good size. It's not huge, but it's pretty good size.
Yeah, it'll be in.
It's going to look nice. It'll be nice to, they had to do something with this building because I don't know if even the mice were eating there.
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've joked about it that, you know, I think we all ate there at least once or twice early in our Disney traveling times. But, you know, we haven't been in years. Hey, I hope to go there, and I hope it is a happening place. I'd love to go there and, you know, use that facility because it is a shame because it was unique and it was kind of the icon of the old marketplace. And it's since been... you know, pretty much abandoned. And you're right, Doug. I mean, I don't know anybody that eats there in my, you know, in my network of people that go to Disney. That people, you wouldn't even mention that if you had to pick 10 restaurants down there. It wouldn't make your list, I wouldn't think.
And when that opened and we started to go back in 97, that and Fulton's were like the two crown jewels of downtown Disney.
Absolutely. It was the happening place. And I still... You know, I still have a, I know I have an old T-shirt, and I
have a Planet Hollywood T-shirt upstairs.
Yeah, and I have one of their drink, you know, one of them drink glass type things, you know, a souvenir glass or whatever. And, you know, I remember being excited about going there, and, you know, it's just, now it's just like, no way.
they went from the two grandest places to forgotten. I mean, that's why they redid both of them. I mean, I'm glad they redid both of them because I don't want to see them go away with the, you know, being nostalgia, you know, sentimental reasons.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going to remain in some form, and you know, for the most part, they're, you know, going to remain. It looks similar to what they did, especially Fulton's, but even the observatory, you know, it's going to. That's still the ball shape will be there, and I think that's awesome that they're going to be able to save that structure and integrate it into what it's going to become.
No, it looks good. I'm happy. I mean, the sad part is there's way too many places for us to go to in
know,
a week.
I know. It's a good problem to have, but you're right. It's going to be, no matter which ones you do, you're going to take crap from somebody. Oh, you didn't go here, you didn't go there. But it's just going to have to be one of those things. You just got to work your way through the list and do them in the order that you want to do them in. Right?
It's going to be a beer and an appetizer at a lot of places this trip.
Yeah, that's what you said you're going to do, and that makes perfect sense that at least you can, you know, maybe not speak to the whole menu, but at least get a take on the, you know, flavors and what they have to offer and the ambiance of the place and, you know, get back there for a full-on dinner at some point in the future.
Well, we definitely want to be there. We're hoping to go for food and wine. But if we don't, it won't break my heart because there's so many places to try.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter.
Yep.
This is one of the times where there's so much to do where it don't matter when you go. You're never going to do it all.
Exactly.
As far as not the rides, but just as far as all the new stuff they put in, as far as food, wine, eateries, new stores, all that stuff. I mean, if I had to spend a week at Disney Springs, it wouldn't bother me at this point.
I've been saying that for a while, and I truly believe it, and I'm going to try to live it. I mean, you know, in fact, we're talking about getting tickets and stuff, and we're just figuring out, I mean, if you have an annual pass, it doesn't really matter, but if you don't, I mean, in a week's vacation, I mean, I could probably get away with a four-day park hopper and be fine, you know, the way it is now, because there's just so much to do down there.
Nah, I could really see just chilling there for quite a few days.
Yep.
Next up, partner.
So let's see here. The premium events have been released at the for the 2016 Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. These are all the things that I'd love to do that I probably won't. But anyways, the 21st Epcot International Food and Wine Festival gets underway on September 14th, and reservations for the festival's premium events begin July 21st. So if you're listening to this, they've already opened. So if you're wanting to do any of these, get on the phone and call. If you were a Disney Chase Visa member, you can make reservations even earlier than that. So they're open for everyone at this point. Let's see. For reservations, you can call 407-939-3378 from July 21st on. And if you're a Disney credit card member, you could have done it 2 days before. For all these events taking place inside Epcot, park admission is required and is not included in the event pricing. Then they had the menus for the global marketplaces, which we covered in depth on our show a couple of shows ago that we did with Bob and
John.
How can I forget John, right? And the
he just sent you these beautiful pins.
Oh yeah.
To get into that, he sent me Waldorf, and he sent you. I mean, who's the more miserable of the two, Waldorf or Statler?
Probably Statler.
Yeah, I think he nailed this on.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's pretty funny. Yeah, John sent us a gag gift is these Disney pins. Each of us getting one of the grumpy old men there from the Muppets, and a new park map for Soarin', which was pretty cool to see that too with the new one of the new films.
Well, we want to thank John and the missus because actually they pin traded for these. Because you couldn't even get them. He actually pin traded for these.
Yeah,
for us.
These are the what do they call them? I used to know, but the little Mickey head you see there, and the insignia, it should be somewhere on the front of the pin. That is true. That is you can only get these by trading with a Disney World cast member. So you can't just go in and buy these off the rack.
So actually, they actually traded for these for us from
that's
somebody,
awesome.
Denny.
That's awesome.
So John does love us a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome that he thought of that. I'm sure he was giggling the whole time, right?
Tuna said, old grumpy old man yelling at, get off the lawn from the balcony. Well, he's Rizzo. So
yeah, Rizzo he's, the rat.
Yes, he's our little Rizzo.
Let's see.
So we're down there. We'll have to pin trade for a Rizzo somewhere.
And also the E to the B concert series, which we mentioned on the new last week's news show, I believe. So you guys are all up to speed on that. But if that's not enough for you guys, they're offering a Rockin' Burger block party. Amp up the fun factor and cool fusion of banging beverages, classic beats, and incredible eats. Amidst this rock till you drop setting, guests can bust a groove to the ultimate playlist while chowing down on a mouthwatering menu that'll top the charts. Choose from a selection of specialty sliders and potables with a new celebrity chef variety each week. Try them all, then vote for your faves. Music and burgers and drinks, oh my. What do you think? Okay.
Yeah.
Event details. This is the good stuff.
This is the free admission,
yeah.
Right?
It'll be held in the World Showplace Events Pavilion, which is where Body Wars used to be over there by Ellen's Energy Adventure. Select Fridays from 7 to 9. It's $99 to $199 per guest, plus tax, but your gratuity is included.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see. September 30th, Chef Manit Shashan will be appearing at this event. October 14th, Chef Alex Seidel. And then November 11th will be Chef Jahangir Mahit. I have no idea who he is.
Jahangir Mahit.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's I want to know why the price ranges from $99 to $199. Like, they ain't telling me what the variance is.
Maybe
there.
The food items, I'm guessing, but I don't know.
And per person, I mean, what are they going to give you for the extra $100?
Yeah, at one you're getting macaroni and cheese, and the other you're getting filet mignon or something like that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I wish there was more details on what the
Yeah.
price variances
Yeah, I don't
are.
know it.
Good.
No,
I'm
no,
sorry to be
no, it's okay.
the butt-itsky over
No,
here.
each event has three seating options. So on these dates, there'll be
That
three different seating options.
that's probably what the 99 to 199
Could be,
is.
could be.
I'll sit in the back and eat the same as you.
Yeah, give me the cheaper version.
Yeah.
VIP nosh pit seating. The hottest.
Oh, so what do we all jump on
It
each
looks
other?
like it, yeah. The hottest ticket in town includes a reserved private table, early entrance to the World Showplace event pavilion, a specialty cocktail toast, premium bar, and more. Limited availability, 6:45 p.m. check-in at the nosh pit podium, $199 per person plus tax gratuity included. Required Epcot admission not included with event ticket.
Okay, so if you don't have your admission, it's 300
Yeah,
bucks, no big deal.
not a bad deal. Reserve seating. See and be seen at the reserved main floor table with early entrance to the World Showplace Events Pavilion and specialty cocktail toast to kick off the festivities. Limited availability, 6:45 check-in at the nosh pit podium, $119 per person plus tax gratuity included. Required Epcot admission not included with event ticket. And then general admission. Party like a rock star with endless tunes, food and drink for a bash to remember. Limited seating available. Check-in at World Showplace event. That's $99 per person. So,
There's the
yeah, you get the
difference.
three tiers here, and I'll do none of them, thank you.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's enough to do
Yeah,
already.
I would say, but again, the
Go to Italy, grab a bottle of wine, and sit down on a table and treat yourself to some
yep.
happiness.
But these things get more expansive each year, so people are doing them, that's for sure. Party for the senses. Relish the sights, sounds, and scents and tastes of the deliciously entertaining event. As a special guest host leads the festivities, party animals can eat, drink, and revel in the true Disney style, endless entertainment. Sample delicacies from over 50 gourmet tasting stations while taking in music, dance, and dazzling magic acts each evening. And the event includes reserved seating for the Eat to the Beat concert series as an added bonus. From an impressive list of talent to Concert Under the Stars, the best of the culinary showbiz worlds come together to create sensational smorgasbord of food and fun. Event details. This will take place Fridays and Saturdays, 6:45 to 9:30 p.m. for a wine view lounge and reserve seating. 7 to 9:30 for general admission. This is $169 to $329 per guest. Wow. Plus
Plus
tax,
tax.
gratuity included. 2016 dates are October 1, 8, 15, 22, 28, and 29. It's crazy. Yeah, I think I'm just going to hit some highlights here. We're not going to read all these. If you're interested, obviously, you can go to the Disney World website and get more information. But I'll just give you some of the highlights. They have a party for the senses featuring Disney Springs chefs. Be prepared to be dazzled as these master chefs shine. This is during a one-time event that'll be offered on October 8th. Party for the senses featuring Disney Parks chefs. So they're bringing in chefs from different locations all over property. This will be offered October 15th. And again, there's tiered seating for this. Party for the senses, Yellowween Masquerade. What is Yellowween? Guest, yeah.
Halloween.
Perfectly paired champagne, wine, craft beer, specialty cocktails. The dress code is a yellow and black chic. So you got to dress up like a banana, basically, to go to this.
A rotten banana.
Category, they get, again, category one, category two, which is view lounge reserved and then general admission and the tiered pricing for that. Culinary demonstrations, cook up a new kind of cuisine by learning from some of the world's most celebrated chefs. These are 45-minute demonstrations. You know, then they bring in different chefs, and I've done one. I've told this story. I did the one with Kat Cora. These are pretty good, and they're fairly reasonably priced. If you want to do something a little bit more than just do the marketplaces, you can do these for, you know, a fairly reasonable price and get in out of the heat.
Yeah, at the Festival Center, the Chef Showcase, held daily 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., is $15.
Right. The unfortunate thing about these, and as I recall, they can only fit like 100 guests in the presentation halls, and these sell out quite quickly. So there's a good chance many of these may be sold out as you're hearing this. But again, if it's something that interests you, you'd want to call and make these reservations as soon as possible. And also, if they are sold out, there's still a chance you can get in. We've done this before. If you go up and it's sold out, you can be put in a standby line, and if somebody doesn't show up, they will let you in. So there's still always a shot. They have beverage seminars, mix it, make it, celebrate it, cheese seminars, all kinds of stuff, as you can imagine. And they cover great British cheeses and ales, Mediterranean cheeses and wines, French cheeses and wines, Italian cheeses and wines. I mean, anything you can imagine. What's cooking with? Discover the recipe for mealtime success with Glitterati and Gourmet World. Event details. This will be at the Festival Center. Oh, boy, look at all these people. Guest schedule, just to read a few. September, Elizabeth Faulkner will be there. Byron Vitaglio, Andrea Robinson, Robert Irvine, everyone knows who he is, Graham Elliott, Buddy Valestro, he's the cake guy, right?
Yeah,
Jamie Dean, Kat Cora, Emily Ellen, Andrew Zimmerman, who eats all the crazy stuff, Rock Hopper, Jeffrey Zachary. I mean, yeah, there's some big names here that are going to be there throughout the festival. So, again, consult the Walt Disney World website, and you can get the dates where these guys are going to be.
Yeah, we actually read all those chefs last week.
Okay, so if you listen to last week's show, you found out. But I know, like, what's his face there, Robert Irvine, his sells out almost within 5 minutes. I mean, he's so popular, so...
Yeah, the one that we would like to see is Graham Allen.
Oh, okay.
He's from Master Chef with Gordon Ramsay. He was on with him for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I love me some Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. That man can cook.
And yell.
I love it. Well, we're kindred spirits. Yeah. That's my wife. She calls me, okay, let's have your Disney Doug voice. Be Doug today. Disney Doug today. We don't need the other Doug. That's the other
right.
Doug on the job site. The Gordon Ramsay can be Doug on the job site sometimes.
What else here? Food and beverage pairings around the world. What are these? No Place Like Home. This is being held at Monsignor Paul, France, at Epcot. The Hibachi Experience. Eat, drink, and be amazed while these culinary masters show off seriously delicious skills.
Now, is that at Mexico? I'm kidding. It's probably Japan.
It is.
Yeah, I was just making a joke. Sorry to
bash
you up
there. Reading all these, and you're just putting in one-liners. You got the top job. Tepanito. What is this? Nahashpashi Dining Room. You've eaten in there, right?
Yes, very good.
Italian regional food and wine pairing luncheon. That must be in...
I think the Italy Pavilion, I would say.
Yeah. Tutto Gusto at Tutto Italia Restaurant, Italy at Epcot. That makes sense. Italian food, wine versus beer pairing. Japanese craft beer tasting. I don't know if I'd go for Japanese beer. We'll have to get John on this one.
It's not bad.
Yeah, you've had Japanese beer before?
Yeah, I like the sake and the Japanese beer. It's not bad. They have the regular, and they have the light stuff, like your Perini and stuff like that, your Molson Canadian. It's in that same family. It's not bad from what I had.
This one, Mediterranean food and wine pairing, is being held at Spice Road Table, Mondays and Wednesdays, 1 to 3. $65 per guest, so actually it's not that bad. And there's a bunch of dates throughout September, October, and even November. So that's a more reasonably priced one. Mexican tequila lunch.
Bob and John's in that.
Save a south of the border cuisine paired with fiery taste of tequila during an authentic gourmet four-course Mexican meal. Guests can sample a diverse range of tequila selections, carefully chosen to complement the spices found in the unique, regionally themed dishes. Prepare for an Epicurean adventure that explains the history of tequila and subtle nuances found in this series.
I wonder if our friend will
be there. Sure she will be, because this is being held at La Hacienda de San Angel at Mexico at Epcot, so I would think she probably will do at least some of these, I would think.
Well, these all sound good. I mean, $85, I mean, I wonder if you can drink all the tequila, all the margaritas you can drink.
I'm sure they give you a fair.
Plus a four-course meal, that's not bad. You know, with the margaritas included.
Right. I agree. You got a Parisian breakfast over at France, Tokyo pairing over in Japan at the Japan Pavilion, culinary adventures and signature dining. The Boathouse is offering. They're jumping right on board.
All aboard.
Well, it's interesting that they've started, and I think we commented on this when we saw this stuff come out, that, some of the restaurants from across property are starting to get in on food and wine, even those not, in the, in Epcot proper, if you will. You got the Boathouse, the ESPN Club, Narcosis, Gigo, ESPN Club, again, Portobello, Country Italian, Trattoria.
Steakhouse.
Yeah, so a lot of Artist Point, contemporary catering, Chef's Table, Raglan Road, Hollywood Brown Derby, Victoria and Albert's, The Wave. I'm not going to say every restaurant on property, but many, many of the
Flying Fish, California Grill, Afternoon Tea and Croissant, Solarium, Trituro Al Forno, Flying Fish again. Trituro Al Forno again on November 10th. So, get online and check out all the Gico to Cooking Place again. I like this one. Embark on a savory journey spanning the countries and cuisines of Africa. One bite transport foodie straight to the savannah. Learn more about Gico to Cooking Place. Danielle Cecilia, the chef. Location, Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. Time, 6 p.m. $199 per guest plus tax gratuity included.
That's a bargain.
So, it isn't. But it's basically turning all these plus. If you're going to do a lot of these, the Flying Fish, Trattoria Al Forno, if you can squeeze that into the budget, you can go over to Victoria and Albert's and do that whole chef's table.
Right.
This is basically what it is all these restaurants are becoming the chef's table.
Yeah, for the most part, that's just very similar. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, like the Flying Fish, relish a delicious surf and turf meal complemented by an outstanding selection of fine wines. Learn more about Flying Fish. Tim Majaro, chef. Location, Disney's Boardwalk Inn. 6 p.m., $199. And all these are at the restaurant. So any of these that you're basically, if you're interested in getting a wine pairing or drink pairing at any of these restaurants and you want to meet be at the chef's kind of table, try it. I mean, Raglan Road's a bargain. It's only $177. The Contemporary is $259. Holy moly. The chef's table there. $169 at Artist Point. Yachtsman. What do you think Yachtsman is? Do you have it in front
I don't. I scroll to the next story. I'm going to say it's $325 per guest.
Oh, you're getting a bargain, then. You're going to go here now. It's $229. Dig into a delicious five-course tasting menu featuring seasonal-inspired steakhouse dishes paired with wine selected by the house sommelier. Learn more about Yachtsman Steakhouse Chef Joseph Haverland, chef, location, Disney's Yacht Club, $229. So it's a bargain for you, Dan.
Nice.
ESPN Club's only $119.
No, they're probably just serving chicken wings, right?
Yeah, I got to meet the chef on that. I'm just kidding, but what I'm saying.
I guess what I'd say to this, Doug, and you made the point. It is true, and you always make the point. If you're living there and you're local,
some
of these things are more because you could make it a specialty thing, or if you're celebrating a birthday in the months of October, September, October, or even early November, you can justify a night out and splurge on one of these. But when you add this up to a family vacation, it almost seems ridiculous. But the point I was going to make is you can experience food and wine anywhere there from totally ignoring it, right? You could go to Epcot and totally be oblivious that Food and Wine is going on and just do your attractions and enjoy the ambiance and ignore it and spend zero money or additional money on it, all the way to these high-end offerings. If you're a foodie and you want to ignore the attractions and just focus on the food and do a food trip to Walt Disney World, you can do that too, and anything in between. So I kind of like the way Disney has it set up where, you know, they're not pushing it on you. They offer all these things to make it varied and make it special, but you don't have to do any of them if you don't want.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is too, Dan, is, and I agree with you on that, is also, like this one here, it isn't bad compared to what it normally costs.
Right.
There. Like the Boathouse. Join us for a dockside welcome reception that includes the champagne toast, signature beverages, and our raw bar replete with seafood specialties. A fabulous four-course meal follows, featured sea-to-shore delights and custom wine pairings. Learn more about the Boathouse. Robert Getchell, executive chef. Location, Disney Springs. Time, 11:30 a.m. So it's an early meal, but it's $150 per person, which sounds like a lot. But when you've eaten at the Boathouse, Dan, it's not much more than
It really isn't. And you're gonna get some.
You probably spend like $80 a person.
And you're gonna get some interaction with the chef, get the chance to ask questions, and you know, get some FaceTime. And again, if you're a foodie and you know, like you recognize much more of the chefs than I did, you watch some of those shows or whatever, you know, that may be a big deal to you and your family and an experience that you want to have, you know?
I mean, living there, $300 compared to $200 might not be a big deal if you're down there.
Yep.
You know, I mean, because it's going to cost you two bills to eat. I mean, you're probably between a buck and a half and two bills with two people going to the Boathouse if you do it right.
If you get drinks and appetizers, absolutely.
Yeah, because gratuity is included, not tax. But, you know, so the point of it is with the gratuity, you're definitely spending a buck and a half there, without a doubt, for two people. So what's up next, partner?
Height test balloons over at Epcot today as plans for Epcot's future world take shape. This is that story I mentioned to you before we went on the air, but I'll read this story and then we'll comment on that. Plans to repurpose Epcot's Future World are taking shape, and early rises on this particular morning got a glimpse of those plans. There are no photos, but specifically, there were balloons that were floated near to the Universe of Energy, currently home to Ellen's Energy Adventure. Those of you who follow previous construction projects will know that height balloon tests are carried out to see how tall a building's sight lines will impact the surrounding areas. I don't know if you have the picture up, Doug, and you can see it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I did. I watched. I looked at it quite a few times. It's awesome. I mean, it's just basically going to tell them what it's going to block and what it's not going to block, what it's going to look like if it's sitting in the park.
Right. We actually, this story we heard about a few months ago. I know, I remember reading it, and I remember they had test balloons in this location. But anyways, what I'm referring to that since this story came out, that apparently, and this story is making reference to it, let's see here. Unlike the recently opened Frozen Ever After that reused an existing ride system and building, now this story here is saying the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction is thought to involve a new build requiring the complete removal of the Universe of Energy ride system. The future of the actual building isn't clear at this point. The closing and
demolition.
Easy for me to say, of Energy would be a clear indication that management has a very different vision for Future World at Epcot, moving away from the original edutainment concept and towards a blockbuster franchise. Disney has not yet made any announcements regarding Epcot's future projects. So this story here is it's indicating that some sort of new Galaxy of the Guardians attraction would be going in the place of Ellen's Energy Adventure. However, there was a story that came out in the it was the LA Times, if I can find it here. Don't do it.
About the overlays of the the Tower of Terror out in Disneyland?
Yeah, out in Disneyland. Apparently, they're going to repurpose the Tower of Terror to house a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction, which I don't have the story now, that figures. But anyways, we can just talk about it. I mean, I don't know how... obviously, this wasn't officially announced from Disney, at least at this point, but this was something that was put out there in the LA Times. It seems to have some legs. Now, as to whether this would happen in Orlando or not, remains to be seen. Maybe they would do it differently and put a new structure up, you know, in or around where Ellen's Energy Adventure sits now. But at least out in California, they claim that they're going to repurpose Tower of Terror. And gets quite a few fans a little upset at that, given the fact...
Yeah, it says, next summer, the Guardians of the Galaxy are taking over theaters at Disneyland. Marvel Studios Chief Kevin Feige announced Saturday at Comic-Con that the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, Mission Breakout, is in the works. It will take over what is currently the Tower of Terror at Disneyland starting next summer in conjunction with the release of the sequel. And it says stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, and Dave Bustia attended the annual fan convention with director James Gunn to tease new footage focusing on the heavily on the Baby Groot character in addition to the new trailer for Inherent Space Crew. The trailer confirms Kurt Russell's previous Hush Hush role, Star-Lord's father. So they're saying that, they're also stating in this article that this ride is going to come out.
Well, I mean, I think it's great that they're bringing the Marvel characters. I mean, we've been kind of waiting and waiting for the characters to make their way to the Disney park. So I think that's a good thing. Now, if it's a permanent overlay, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that as opposed to just a, you know, sometimes they'll just do something for a year or, like this is indicating, just for the release of the prequel to the Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, what do you think? Would you rather have the Tower of Terror in its current state, or would you mind an overlay, or if they totally did something different? I mean, do you care?
No, I think the Tower of Terror should be left alone the way it is. And I would be, because it's an iconic ride and it's always in the top 10 of favorite rides in the park. So I don't know why they feel like they got to mess with that. I think at Disneyland, they're short on space. So they're kind of doing like they do the overlays, I think. And I don't know the full story of what they're going to do, but I think it's going to be like kind of like the overlays that they do on the Haunted Mansion and Pirates out there. But I don't think it's going to be anything permanent. Now, the Universe of Energy, I mean, it sounds like they're tearing down the building to create a new ride. Totally different. No overlays, no nothing. And I don't understand why they don't just tear down the building that's over by Epcot. I mean, over by World Showcase, the one that's been closed forever.
Right. Yeah, I mean... Who knows? I mean, there'll be more coming out on this, and we just thought we'd mention it because it's interesting, and, you know, this story may not be true or could be half true, or we may have it, you know, incorrect at this point. So take all this with a grain of salt.
It's speculation.
Exactly. But it is interesting to, discuss.
Yeah. I would be more upset with Universe of Energy going like you guys were upset with Maelstrom.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like Universe of Energy a lot, and I know it's corny and all, but you know, I just have a lot of good memories on there with the back with Chris Berman, and I crack up. I just enjoy that ride. I enjoy the stupid jokes, but that's just me. But the tongue in cheek jokes, all that. It's one of the first rides that I remember when I went down to the parks many moons ago. How great it was. So I know it's past its time, and I won't lose my mind if it goes. But the only thing I am upset about is the front of that park definitely needs some, and I can't believe they're going to break into working on that too, along with everything else they're doing. So, but I don't know if I'm happy about the edumacagement going, but I don't. They haven't kept up on it anyway. So it's like you might as well let them just change it over.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back and forth.
Yeah.
On it.
And it is true, and I guess I look at it like, you know, where I work. I mean, they do these things, and I'm sure you're familiar with them. But they have master plans where a bunch of the the administration or whatever get around the table, and they'll make a plan for 5 years, 10 years, and they even have a 25-year plan. And what's that old saying? If you don't plan, you'll fail if you don't plan. I don't have that right, but you know what I mean. So you can't say stay stagnant. And if you want something to change, like, you know, something major to change, like, you know, tear down Ellen's energy adventure. I mean, they don't just get up one morning and decide they're going to do that. I mean, just think about the infrastructure that's there, and the, you know, power requirements, and all the things, and permitting, and it's such a complex thing. I mean, to do it, even if they wanted to do something, it'd probably take 5 years of planning to do it, and or if not
absolutely.
More, you know. So, I mean, yeah. I guess it is kind of baffling, like you said, you can't believe they're going to take on this other project. And
but it's five,
yeah.
6 years away.
Yeah.
Like, they already got all the other stuff's already moved on to the building aspect. Now they're on the planning of this. So this is going to come after everything else is done. But it's like you just keep seeing how the plate keeps getting fuller and fuller. Because, dude, there's if they're going to tear that building down, there's years of figuring out how to tear that building down without interrupting anything
else.
Right,
because that's in a, you know, it's a, you're right. If you envision where that is, it kind of backs up against where they give the, where you get the carts and the bathrooms on the left-hand side there. I know there's cast member stuff. I mean, it could have an, it's going to have
stuff.
Impact.
You got to figure out crowd flows. You got to figure out noise flow. I mean, you know, I mean, not being politically correct or construction correct, but they have to figure out the safest way. It takes them months just to figure out where the hell they're going to put the walls.
Yeah. That's
to
true.
Tear everything down and how they're going to cover so you can't see what's going on from test track. How they're going to stop, you know, because test track it wraps around where you could see that building.
Sure, and I'm sure there's, sound issues potentially and all that stuff. When, you know, will it impact other attractions? Will, you know, it's just all the stuff. But putting it out there, you're right, though. We think about it in terms of all this stuff is happening at the same time. But really, some things are winding down. Some things are just ramping up. Some things are just in planning. And some things hopefully are, you know, being completed. So, you know, there's always going to be stuff going on. And unfortunately, to get back to your point, like you tease us about Maelstrom, and, you know, you said you probably have a more an affinity for, you know, the Tower of Terror, because it was one of the things you enjoyed first when you
Ellen's,
agree, one of the old-time attractions. But, you know, let's face it, over the next 20 years, God willing, if we're still going to Disney World, you know, we're going to see some of our favorites go by the wayside and make room for, you know, these newer attractions or new buildings, and it's inevitable.
Yeah, I honestly believe there's probably, like, 10 rides or 10 or 15 rides, and we should do a show on that. And that's a good idea.
The Untouchables.
If we're if we're stealing it from somebody else, we apologize. Believe me, this is off the top of my head right now. I'm not trying to step on. We all do a million shows, so if you have done this, we're sorry we're bringing it up, but we're going to do it anyway. And I just thought of it, honestly, at this moment. It might be stupid. Let us know. But we should do, like you just said, the Untouchables. A list of rides that you think will never go away, and see if we're wrong. Like, there's maybe 20, but, like, I don't think Spaceship Earth will ever go away. Unless, God forbid, something happens where something happens to the building itself. Storm-related or something stupid like that. So, I mean, and really, at Epcot, I truly believe that's probably the only ride that might, one of the only rides that might never go away. That is considered iconic. Like, It's a Small World, I don't think will carry. You know, there's a lot of things. So we should do a show on the rides that we think are untouchable.
No, absolutely. In fact, maybe we'll do that on one of our midweek shows in the near future, because that's an interesting show. And
and we could argue back and forth.
Yeah, we will do that.
So that'll be a good show. Another little story. If you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much I had this week for news.
I got a little neat one here that you might like, because you give me that goofy emoji that you use all the time. I had to put my new one on my phone, but I didn't know if you knew this. Unlock Disney Parks emojis in Disney Emoji Blitz game. Did you know about this?
It's funny you say that. When I was going on Facebook before the show, I did see something, but I didn't really read the whole thing. But well, why don't you tell me instead of me guessing?
Here it goes. Do you love emojis? Do you love Disney parks? Then I have great news for you. In the new Disney Emoji Blitz, a game for mobile devices where players can collect and play with hundreds of Disney and Pixar emojis, you can earn special Disney parks emojis. So if you play this game, emojis are all about telling stories and expressing feelings, says Nisa Chambers, executive producer of Disney Emoji Blitz. The Disney Parks emojis may be more than others, help our players to tell their own Disney stories. It's not the story Disney tells you in the theaters, but the story you make it with Disney in our parks, with what rides, what iconic foods and souvenirs you love personally. Now you can collect them all from emoji in emoji form. Sounds pretty neat.
Okay.
So you get to get on, you play this game, and you earn emojis. It's Mickey Premium Bar, Matterhorn, Mickey Mouse ears, hat emojis. There's all different kinds here, dude. Goofy, you name it. So if you guys want to go over, it says download Disney Emoji Blitz now for free with in-app purchases on the App Store and Google Play Store.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me it was like them. What's that game that everybody's playing now where they...
Like Candy Crush?
No. They collect the...
I thought
that's what you were going to say. It was something like that. Now, emojis, those are like the little things you put in a text or something, right?
Yeah, they're the ones. Remember, you made the goofy eye up that you send me when. Yeah, that's
okay.
What the emoji.
All right. So now you're going to be able to put yourself as like all them characters you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's Disney Emoji Blitz is the first mobile game connected to a custom keyboard and features more than 400 emojis of Disney and Pixar characters, including favorites from The Little Mermaid, The Lion King, Cinderella, Frozen, Finding Dory, The Muppets, Toy Story, and more. A fast-paced match three game, Disney Emoji Blitz lets players match emojis to score points and unlock a new Disney and Pixar emoji. Each emoji collection blasts the boards with expressive power ups like icing away emojis with Elsa from Frozen or scaring emojis with Sully from Monsters, Inc. So there's all different games. So we won't tell anybody, but we'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
I'll
check it out. I mean, it sounds pretty cool. You knew Disney would get in on this stuff, right? I mean, it's free advertisement to get their characters out there and get the kids, playing with them and stuff. I mean, that makes sense from a business perspective.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I'm going to be going in. I would like to have them to send around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to go in after the show. Absolutely. You said it's free, right?
Absolutely. That's what
it
says.
For me, then.
And then our friend Hilda, if you go over to the Disney Parks blog, there's an article on Disney Familia. Learn about tequila at Lava del Tequila. I'm speaking like you now, Ben. And the article says, one of our favorite places is Epcot, La Cava del Tequila in the Mexico Pavilion. Not only does it provide an escape of the crowds, but it's a place where you can learn about tequila, mezcal, and more. The tequila bar celebrates the heritage and tradition of tequila making in Mexico. So go over and read the whole article. Our good friend Hilda is on there, Dan. You can see a picture of her. You know, she's like the savvier there of whatever, whatever it is for tequila. So head over there and read the little article on her.
Yeah, I mean, she, if you remember when we had her on the show, I mean, she went to... she's literally an expert on tequila. And, you wouldn't think there was much to it. But as we learned, there is quite a bit to it. And there's three main types of tequila, as I recall.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, go over and read the article and you'll enjoy it. I like all three types of tequila.
Okay.
I like it cold and on ice in a margarita.
Nice.
So, but yeah, go over and read the article. Another thing is, Dan, another look at Magic Kingdom's 45th anniversary products arriving in the fall 2016 at Walt Disney World Resort. So they got some really nice new, new artwork on the shirts.
Okay.
They got new purses, new pocketbooks, new pens. Everything has 45th day of pins, Mickey ears, mugs, you name it. There's all sorts of new memorabilia and items in all the stores now of Disney 45th anniversary stuff. So you can go collect all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I mean, usually Disney's like ahead of the curve. Like if the 45th anniversary is this year, which it is, you would have thought they'd have that ready to go, like, you know, last fall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe this is like the, I think this is maybe another installment.
Oh, okay.
Of
like a refresh, items. Like they had an initial wave,
exactly.
And now this is the second wave.
Yeah, okay. I think so. But yeah, they have pocketbooks the whole nine yards. So if you guys are interested, you can also go over to Disney Park Store, as I have the app on my phone, and you can buy this stuff there too. Which I might get a hoodie or a pen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to get commemorative stuff. I mean, I remember being at Epcot 30, and I got a couple of pins and stuff. And particularly if you're there that year, you know. I mean, I wouldn't just get it. Like, say I wasn't doing a trip this year. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to definitely be on property, I would pick up some little, you know, keepsake for, you know, to commemorate that. Absolutely.
I still have my 2000 T-shirts and sweatshirts. Yeah,
there you go.
From the Millennium.
I think the Millennium was super special, though. I mean, right? I mean, a Millennium. I mean, we have a ton of stuff put away for that. Why, I don't know, but we got a plate. We got all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure most people that travel to Disney for the Millennium or during the Millennium year have similar items in their homes.
Yeah, I have a ton of T-shirts and I have a, not a ton, but a few T-shirts and sweatshirts, and I wore them. I didn't put them away, but
right.
I wore them.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with clothing. I mean, you want to put it away, but then you think, well, what am I going to do with it, right? You might as well wear it.
Yeah, but you know what? I have this one black 2000 Millennium sweatshirt. I can't kill that thing. I love that sweatshirt. That, and I have this other green one that my wife can't pry them from me. She tries, but they're not going anywhere. They're two of my faves. They're like, you know, they've turned into winter pajamas.
They're so thin.
they aren't so thin. They're just comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, in the winter, I have like three or four Disney sweatshirts that are nighttime clothes to me.
I mean, they're only 16 years old, Doug.
they're in their prime, man. They're in their prime.
Got another 16 years to go, right?
I'm hoping another 40.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. I want to hit the an 88 would be good for me.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, you got anything else, Dan?
No, I'm good. You got anything?
Nah, just we'll be doing a trip report. Our buddy John's about checking into the Poly right now.
I'm so jealous. Yeah,
Lucky
he's
dog.
Been posting stuff all week and counting down his trip. And, you know, that's pretty good for John. You know, even though he's being a local, he truly enjoys Disney every bit as much as we do, if not more. And, you know, he's going into this like a tourist. And I think that's pretty cool that he's doing it that way.
Well, that's what everybody keeps saying to me. They're like, when you move there, you're going to get tired of it. I said, because my mother-in-law was saying that to me, too. And I said, well, I've loved your daughter for 25 years, and I'm not tired of her. I love her even more today than I did when I met her. So if you really love something, you're not going to get tired of it. It's like people who hunt and fish and love football. I don't see me getting, like, she loves the Phillies. I said, you're going to stop liking them tomorrow if you move next to the stadium? Or are you going to love them even more? If you could walk to the game every night, do you think you'd hate it? I think I'd fall in love with it more.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at that.
Yeah, if you love it, you love it. If you don't, you don't. Like, if there's a lot of things. Like, my brother could go fishing every single day. So I don't think if he lived near a lake, he'd hate fishing. Does that make
sense
to you?
I mean, you know, you might have to, you know, change your strategies. I mean, I suppose if you went every day for, you know, 3 years straight, it might get a little old. But if you did it right and take it in small bites, and, you know, like you've explained, how you would do the parks and maybe go for dinner or after dinner walk and grab a dessert or a coffee or something like that, I think it'd be fine. I mean, if you went to test track every day or something, you'd probably get sick of it after a while.
No, but going every night, two, three nights a week is what the goal is, just to walk around and hang out. That's, use it as my park. As we go walk the park and you do stuff like that, it's with the, you don't, like I said, you don't feel as safe as you do on Disney property.
Right, absolutely.
And there's not as much to do, and there's not as much cheerfulness. You know, that's the whole deal, just to have something to do every night. It would be better, it's healthier for you than sitting in your darn house.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
be like joining the gym with stuff to do that I like.
Yeah. You just can't get a snack everywhere. You got to have that willpower.
Answer me this, Dan. The treadmill or walk around World Showcase?
Yeah, I'd have to think. Let me get back to you. I'll have to think that one over.
That's the point I'm making. The older we get, it would be healthy for you to be able to do that a couple of nights a week. Yep. Instead of sitting in your darn house doing nothing. And the treadmill, to me, the treadmill has to be in front of the TV, and I have to be – I can't just do it. I'd be bored out of my mind.
You've said that many a time. Or a ball or something has to be involved with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't run just to run. But I could walk around. I'm averaging 20,000 steps a day on the job I'm at. So.
You're getting enough exercise, I think.
Absolutely. But no, dude, I can't wait. I'm happy for John. I can't wait to hear about his dining reviews. I think he's eating at Kona. He has reservations at Kona. What's the other one there?
There's Captain Cook's, there's Kona, there's Ohana.
He has all three of them he's going to be eating at. And then he's going to, he has a resident Spice Road.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's going to see Illuminations, hopefully, from the viewing patio there. That's right. Yeah, he's going to have a lot of stuff that, he's been wanting to do, or we've been wanting him to do. So we ought to have a great trip report from John when he gets back from this little vacation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Maybe we'll even get him in to sit in on the Untouchables, because I know he has a perspective on that. I think that would be a good show. So that's going to be it for us this week. Please, guys, pretty please, go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate that. Follow Dennis at Oak Manor, me at Grumpy67, and John at Beer Solo, of course. You can follow us all at WDW Main Street. You can head over and follow us on, like us on Facebook. We'd really appreciate it. And we hope you guys have a safe and wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.